today I want to just talk about trust. Trust. This morning I was up early and in the motorhome we were sitting in their backyard for what it's worth. I'm in Richmond Hill, Georgia today for those that's listening on CD. And I do what I call polish it off. You know, the morning when I'm going to speak, I get up and restudy everything one more time. And the only thing is, when I laid it down this morning, God began to give me this message on trust. So I hadn't read it either. So we're going to see what God does with this thing called trust. Turn to, let's just go to John 14, 1. Trust. You know, we're going to look at kind of two different ways of it. Most of you are familiar, you don't, in your Bible, you'd have Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I just want to use that for a base. We're going to be thinking out of the New Testament, of course. But Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We want to look at this two ways today and say, do I really trust in God? And I don't know about you, if you run team, you know what trust is.
Yes, sir.
And folks that don't know, when you lay down that sleeper, you put your life in that person's hand. There's nothing you can do. No matter what they do, you can't do nothing.
No.
I mean, if they mess up, you're going to crash. And some of us have done that. I've been fortunate. I can count on one hand, my 20 years over the road, I can count on one hand how many people I'd run team with, and probably narrow that down to about two fingers. Now, don't get me wrong. Some I don't know that I could run team with just fine. But I taught my wife to drive a truck, so I can't complain about her driving because she does what I taught her to. So that ain't too good. That's almost duplicating yourself. But trusting in the Lord, it's easy to say, I trust in God. What does our money say?
In God
we
trust.
In God we trust. Well, they got that new coin coming out now that's not on there, they say. And they're not going to give me any of them in change. I'm sorry, I don't want that. But in God we trust. We trust God for everything. And in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, right? But in all your ways, what does it say? I mean, you're familiar with this.
Acknowledge
who?
Yeah.
God, right. And he will direct your path. But now there's something we've got to look at there. When we say, I trust you, Lord, do we really? Or do we question him? Or do we sell him short? In other words, if we really trust him, if we really know that he's there. By the way, another little side note to this thing is believe it. We were sharing earlier over breakfast and talked about Satan believing. Nobody believes more than him. And 90% of the people here at the truck stop, I would guess, probably would say, I believe in God, right? I believe he exists. Well, so does Satan. We've got to go past that. Sometimes people ask me, do you believe the Bible's true? And I say, no. No, I don't. I know it is.
Amen.
I know it is. I have seen it work, and I know it is. So we need to go by that. When we need to get to the point where we say, I trust you, Lord, with everything. Don't matter what it looks like. And believe me, I've been there and done that. When he says, come work for me. Just come work for me. Remember the story? Jesus is walking along here, and there's Peter and all the fishermen out there. Peter was an owner-operator, by the way. He owned his own boat. In fact, he owned a fleet of boats. He owned a whole fleet of boats. If you research, I've studied Peter because I'm another Peter, and that's not necessarily, I don't mean the good side of him necessarily. Impulsive. Peter was very impulsive. I tend to be impulsive. And Peter and me sometimes will speak and think later. That's not a good plan necessarily, right? But here comes Jesus now. You gotta put yourself in their mindset. Jesus comes along. They don't know who he is, right? He just here's some dude walking along, preaching, teaching, and saying, "I'm God." Now we got the Bible to go by to believe in and know it's true. They didn't have that. They had the law. They had the Old Testament. But now we're talking about trust, right? He come along and said, "Follow me, and I'll make you what? Fishers of men." Well, they identified fishermen. Ah, fishers of men. And I read in the scripture in the gospel where the Bible says they dropped their nets and went with him. That's trust. I can only imagine what the wife said. "Have you lost your rabbit mind?" My wife Jen is my partner. We've been married 42 years, and she knows me like a book. I mean, needless to say, she knows what I'm gonna say sometime. That's scary. But I remember coming home to my sweet wife in December 1987, and I came in at night as usual, parked the truck, went home, you know, typical scenario. Got up next day, got the two kids off to school, and we were having coffee. I'll never forget it. And I said, "Honey, I need to talk to you about something." "What?" By the way, God had allowed us to get the job of my dreams. I won't go into it, but, I mean, really doing good. Okay? And that was a sucker deal. God will put you there just to see what you'll do. You get real comfortable in situations, and he'll just, my mama used to say, pull the rug out from under you. Say, "Okay, trust me." Well, this day came in December 1987, and I said, "Honey, I'm going this morning to turn my notice in. I'm quit Brand Brothers today." And she looked at me as only a sweet wife can. I wish she was here to defend herself this morning. She's not feeling good. She looked at me, and she loved God with all her heart. There ain't no question in my mind. That's one of the most godly people I ever met in my life is my wife. You know, I trust her, again, I trust her walk with God in a lot of areas that we don't even have time to discuss today. Because I don't trust her flesh. I said I trust her walk with God.
Amen.
Okay? And that's what we need, men. And that's what she needs, too, by the way. But she looked at me that morning. I could see it in my mind, sitting over our breakfast table. And she looked at me and she said, "And what are we supposed to do? And don't tell me pray." All in one sentence.
Without taking a breath.
That's right. Without taking a breath, without even batting an eye.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. She loved God. She trusts God. But now this is a whole different ballgame. We got two children in school. We got rent to pay, just like everybody else. We got expenses. And here comes the breadwinner in to say, "I quit." Here, Jesus walks along the seashore there and says, "Hey, come follow me." Now, I don't find anywhere in the scripture where he gave them a great big long story where he said, you know, he didn't preface it at all. He didn't promise them anything. Brand Brothers gave me a book of benefits, literally. That greatest truck driving job, I guess, existed in Atlanta. We had a benefit package that, honestly, the Teamsters would die for. I'm serious. And I'm only saying that to say God set me up. I'm not bragging about what I left. I'm saying, woo, let you get there and then... It's gone. But I had a choice to make, didn't I? I didn't have to do that. I would have been any less a Christian if I'd have said no. I don't think. I'd have been out of God's will, but I wouldn't have been any less a Christian. You follow me?
Yeah.
I'd have still been a Christian. I'd have still died and gone to heaven. But I would have been out of God's will because he called me that day. He walked along the seashore and said, "Come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." See, you guys got an opportunity that's unreal. Drivers, you cross the country. Some of you run cross country, I'm sure, right? You do? All right. See, I didn't have that opportunity. I was just regional, so I didn't get to cover much. God has called you, drivers, into the ministry and hadn't told you to leave your job yet. Yet. I'm not going to say he will or he won't. I don't know. But you do, Paul said, to do the work of an evangelist. What is that? Tell people about Jesus in a nutshell, right? There's a few of us in here this morning and 100 or more trucks out on the parking lot. Anybody know where the ministry really is? Out there, exactly. Tomorrow's Monday. You're a bit loading dock. You pull a dry van, right? What do you pull?
Oversized,
okay.
Drive in.
Here's two. Y'all be going to two entirely different places. If you was the only one in ministry, the drive-in receivers would never hear nothing.
Right.
This is the way I look at it. The reefer pullers, us old garbage wagons, we call it. You know, some of us got to do it. Chicken lights all over it, of course. I'll never forget Mr. Brand when he bought me a brand new rig, by the way, a month before the Lord told me to quit. And he let me put lights on it. I took it down before they delivered the trailer. I went down there and told him how many lights I wanted on it. And I said, "Boss man," he said, "what are you going to do, run sideways and look at it?" And I said, "that sounds like a good idea." And I said, "Boss man, the Bible says, let there be chicken lights." He looked at me. He said, "Bud, I don't think it says that." I said, "well, that's kind of my paraphrase of it. But anyway." And of course, he said, "go tell them what you want. Just go down." He and I went and picked the trailer out. Brand new. To go behind my brand new Western Star with a little 4 1/4 in it, 15 over 370s. Reach out and touch someone if you want to. But the point I want to make is, in my life, in 1987, and in your life in different ways, not necessarily leave your job, not necessarily drop your nets and come follow me. Somebody needs to be ministering where you are. It takes just as much trust, in my mind, to minister where you are as to do what I did. It takes just as much faith, or more, because you're at the dock. You're the loader, shipper, receiver, truck stop, scale house, whatever. Not by coincidence. Not by accident. The Bible says, I believe it's in Psalms 37, that the footsteps of a good person are ordered by the Lord. In other words, he's directing our paths. If we're trusting him, if we're obeying him, if we're in obedience. How many of you, and don't answer me, but think about it. As drivers, you're going down, well, we just use I-95 since we're over here. You're booking it down the road or up the road, and you're not pushed for time. You know, doesn't really matter where you stop. And this little something tells you, leads you, whatever you want to call it, to stop at a truck stop where you normally don't stop. How many has had that happen? Now, of course, we have the option of do that or not, right? Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't, if we're honest. I did that with swinging meat, and I tried to get a warning a little bit early. You don't just go off the ramp, you know. Don't do nothing quick. But I've had him speak to my heart, and I know you have, that something, we call it, is called the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's not something.
Amen.
It's either you, God, or Satan, I'll put it that way.
Amen.
See, you, God, or Satan, if it's about his work, it definitely ain't Satan. And it ain't you, because your flesh is like my flesh. It don't want to do that. If we're honest, I can think of 1,000 reasons not to come in this chapel today. My flesh can't. It can think of 100 reasons not to say anything to anybody in witnessing or whatever. I love his brother's shirt. He had his jacket on something. I saw just the word blood. And I knew there had to be more to it than that. I didn't sense the American Red Cross as much as we love that organization, and I do donate blood, by the way. I believe in that. I'm an organ donor. I just hope they make sure I'm dead before they start taking them out. Don't be in no hurry. Let's make sure he ain't breathing no more. But no, I don't really care. But we got to get to the point where we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, meaning everything. You remember, I've got 9 wonderful grandchildren, and by the way, just found out the 10th one's on the way.
Amen.
You can't have too many grandchildren.
Amen.
I mean, you know, I told my children, you served your purpose now. I just have my grandchildren. A daughter was coming one day, and she said, darn if I stop by. And we said, do you have the girls with you? And she paused for a minute. She said, can I come without them? I said, well, if you have to. But not really. It was just, I don't know. You know, love those grandchildren, right? And but we need, they trust us explicitly, right? These little children. Remember when one's learning to walk, maybe your child or somebody else's child, you remember them holding on to the table or whatever, and you know, you get just out of reach, and you hold your arms out. You remember seeing that? And they look at you, look at the table, and say, I don't know about this. And they finally turn loose. Why? Because they trust you. And you might even say, Granddaddy's not going to let you fall. Granddaddy's not going to let you get hurt. Daddy's not going to let you get hurt. Mom, I won't. And you're telling them you can trust me. God says, turn loose of whatever your security is. Again, he's not necessarily going to tell you to go quit your job. Don't you go tell your wife that Chaplain Joe said, quit. In fact, you might do what Lee Strable, one of our Christian drivers, he said, if God told me that, I'd ask him for a second ID. So, and there's nothing wrong with that. Make sure it's God, right? In fact, we discussed that the rest of the way home that night. I'll never forget. I could show you on I-85 where I was at when he spoke that to my heart. I know exactly. Because I began to look around. Guys, get off the subject a little bit, but I began to look around in my truck. My brand new Western Star, burgundy and silver gray. I mean, crushed velour, you know. And I literally turned on the dome lights. Why, I don't know. But I began to look around in the truck. And I praised God for my job every day. I really did. I enjoyed what I was doing because my boss told me that ministry had come before the job. He used God's name in vain every day. Just sure as he opened his mouth. This heathen put God first and didn't even know what he was doing. He told me, Bud, that's more important than anything. When I tell him about witnessing, that's more important, he'd say. You take all the time you need and do that. Talking about his own customers, he said, and I've heard him say this more than once, he said, if they want you there at 8 o'clock and you get there at noon, they ought to be more happy to see you. Can you imagine that? That's putting God first.
Sure.
Now, how many Christians will do that? Who really trust God with all our heart? Or is it, I trust you, Lord, as long as I know how it's going to work out. Again, you're going down the road, right? And you feel compelled, led, whatever, to go in this truck stop you don't stop in. And let's just say, all right, I'll go, whatever, I'll stop. Well, listen, that, my friend, is direction of the Holy Spirit. Now, what he's going to do there, I have no idea. I've seen it where a wreck happened later on I could have been involved with. Most of the time you go in, somebody's there that needs your ear. And Lord knows if there's a truck there, that can happen, let alone a yard with 100 or more. I think of TA Ontario, where we're at with the chapel out there. It parks 600 trucks. 600 lives sitting there. Chapel's there. Maybe get a dozen or two in there. 600 out there. that the chaplain never gets a chance to minister to because they're not coming in. But guess what? You pull oversight, you say?
Yes.
You're sitting still every night. Right? Maybe dark to daylight, whatever.
Pretty much. As long as I'm loaded that way.
Yeah, yeah, if you're over with, say.
There's a lot of times I get legal loads, but nevertheless, my forte is oversight.
Okay.
And I do sit a lot.
And you know pretty much where you're going to be that night.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of chart it out, right?
Plan ahead.
Okay. Well, see, here's, and I don't want to put this on you, but see, my dream driving, my wife can tell you, I told her all the time we were trucking, when the kids are grown and gone, I'm going to buy us a custom-built truck. This trucking logo is one we owned then. I said, we're going to build us a, get a big sleeper. I'm going to go to hauling OD loads, nothing else. And I knew the company then. See, I knew what I was going to do, right? God was saying, But anyway, that was my plan because I knew we could chart and I'll be TA Dallas or whatever by dark. I'll be ready to minister when I get there. In other words, I'm praying all the way in. God, you know who's there. You already know who's there. So let me be obedient. Give me something to say to these guys and women at the truck stop, be it employees, be it drivers, be it whoever. Let me have something of hope and encouragement to share with them. Trusting in Him for it. You see, guys, you're in the ministry just as much as anybody else. Your ministry is just as important as Charles Stanley. He's one of my mentors, so I can use his name. I got his permission. But, you know, Billy Graham, whoever, Dr. Graham, I mean, who can say what God has done through that man, right? But you know what? For that one guy, that one lady, that one person at a truck stop is just as important to God as a stadium full of people. Because God didn't call me to go to the stadium. God didn't call you to go to the stadium. You ever seen Billy Graham on truck stop parking lot? Why, no. Your pastor ever come out truck stop? No. Why? God didn't call him to. He called us to. And we got to be willing, trust the Lord with all of our heart, okay, to go do what He said to do. And we were talking, this guy blessed me this morning talking about sowing seed. And we got to remember that sower, and we're not there for results. Praise God if we get to lead somebody to Christ. That's the ultimate. But we need to either sow, water, cultivate a little bit, or maybe harvest. But be willing to do whatever. Now, the one that sows is on the brunt end of the thing. That's like front line. You're the one that walks up to Bubba first. And I, Bubba, I mean, God always works it out where He's about three times my size. You know? And He looks like He would knock your head off if you just said good morning. That's the one that needs it the most. That's the one that needs it the most. And sometimes, and I've said this, you on CD are going to get tired of hearing this, but one of my favorite things at a truck stop is stand at the door and open the door and say good morning. Welcome to Walmart. And everybody does that. They just automatically, I mean, they come in, I watch them coming. Where our office is at Jackson, they tell you, I stand at the door sometimes, and I watch the drivers coming, and this is the guy, if you can picture it, you've seen him 100 times, right? Looks like his whole world is caved in, and it may have. Been there and done that too. But when he comes up the door, I open the door and say, good morning, welcome to Walmart. And without fail, He's going to respond to that. Sometimes He look at you like, are you stupid or what? You know. But nevertheless, it starts something.
It opens the door.
Exactly. You minister to Him by simply opening the door. Random act of kindness. The world desperately needs to see that. Because everything in the world today is, what am I getting out of the deal?
They don't understand it.
That's right. They don't understand why. And that opens a wide open door. We have, we jokingly call them Walmart greeters. We have the ladies involved in the ministry posted at the door a lot of times, that the ones that want to. And Palma's done this many times here. Open the door for driver, just say good morning. We've had them call us and say, you know, a driver walked all the way in the restaurant and come all the way back and said, why'd you open the door for me? I just wanted to. No strings attached. You don't owe me nothing.
Don't want nothing.
But see, a lot of times that will start a conversation. From that point, it's because of Jesus in my heart. Or whatever you might say. And please don't get it down pat, because the Holy Spirit's rude. He just does his own thing, you know. I say rude. I think I got it together, like now. And he changes everything. Here's about 3 days' work right there that's not worth a flip now. But you know, there again, when we were walking the lot, when we were prepared for the day, and you can do this, God, you know who's going to be there. I don't. You know their situations? I don't. I don't need to know their situation necessarily. All I need to do is be prepared. What did Paul say? Be instant in season and out of season. One preacher said that means do it when you feel like it and do it when you don't feel like it. Sometimes I feel this urge to say something to somebody, and I feel like, God, I need somebody to say something to me. Well, to go back to the sower. You reap exactly what you sow. So if you sow random act of kindness, what are you going to reap? But we want to reap it first. Many, many times I've been told by people, and my wife punches me when I do this, I chuckle. I've had churches say, when we get a little extra money, we're going to support your ministry. You know what? They will never have extra money. You know why? Because they're not sowing.
They want theirs first.
Exactly. When we get it, we'll give. That's opposite. That's what I think. That's what my flesh thinks. But you know what? Coming from the stingiest human that's ever lived, and that's me. I mean, I had a hard time learning to give, and we're not going there today, but just... this don't just cover money. We're talking about kindness. We're talking about love. We're talking about joy. We're talking about peace. Right? Anything. If I want to reap it. You see, I was a male chauvinist. Pamela's heard this before, so it won't startle her. My wife married a male chauvinist. Now, we didn't use that term because, first of all, I couldn't spell it anyway. That's what I was taught. But after I got saved in 1971, God began to deal with my heart on how to love my wife. And you know what? I like to say this when we have a lot of women in the group. Palma don't count because she's done heard it 100 times. But I like to say to run a bunch of women, I want my wife to serve me. And I've had women drivers look at me like, I will kill you. But you know what? You know how I get my wife to serve me? Anybody want? No? Exactly. I plant that seed of servanthood in her by serving her. At the truck show coming up in Louisville. Standing on that floor all day long. I know what she wants. We get back at the motorhome and all the hoopla's done and we settle in. I take her shoes off, if she hadn't already, and start massaging her feet. And often she'll say, you want me to do your feet? And I said, no, I'm fine. But she didn't ask me to do that. I know her feet are tired. I mean, you know, at our age, you stand, it don't take all day. But you know what I'm saying? And it don't have to be somebody you know. It seems to me that the seed grows better where there's less connection. You know what I mean? The tougher the deal, the better the seed grows, the bigger harvest. And you know, the Bible uses the illustration of the mustard seed. I was born and raised right over here, just west of here, South Georgia. Worked on my uncle's farm. And we know about sowing and reaping. We didn't have a garden for show. We had it so we could eat. And it was necessity to watch after that garden, take care of that garden, right? But what do you do first? You condition the soil. See, that's the sower. Sometimes before the seed can even be sown, we got to condition the soil a little bit.
Right.
You got to tell Bubba about what happened to you. See, they could stand out there right now, and probably are in the truck stop, no doubt. Somebody saying, there's a bunch of idiots over in the chapel. They can say your theology is off. They can say you as a Baptist I don't agree with. You as a Pentecostal I don't agree with. You as a Catholic I don't agree with. They can do that. But when you say, this is what happened to me. That's right. Nobody can argue with that. That's not theology. That's me. That's me. That song that she sung for me a while ago, I get misty thinking about it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You know, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And you know what? Every born-again Christian can preach, if you want to say it, that message. Because after all, a preacher, if you just take the P off the front, is a reacher. And we are all commissioned by Jesus to go into highways and hedges, compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Then he said in Matthew 11:28, I believe it is, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every living creature. Now, he didn't mean get in an auditorium. He didn't mean necessarily in a chapel. He said preach the gospel to every living creature. Everybody can, if I may paraphrase, everybody we come in contact with. What is the gospel? Jesus loves you. And I can say that because he loves me. You know, at testimony time, I was asked by a pastor one time, it'd been more than once, but this particular time, he said, I want you to come and share your testimony. We were doing a men's group. I want you to share your testimony. I said, okay, take about 10 seconds. And he's read all this bio on me and whatever. He said, 10 seconds? I said, the first verse of Amazing Grace is my testimony. He said, I want you to talk about the drug addiction. I said, I'm not going to do that. Sorry, I won't do that. Why? And I said, because there'll be young people out there that I'm telling what a joy they're missing out by serving God. I know how Satan can twist something. Our children born and raised in the church, right, that we've taught and whatever, they're saying, hey, I never did that. I know how that evil person worked. I know where there's an alcoholic right now that was born and raised in church. He's very close to me. Very close to me. Born and raised in church, in Christian home, excelled in Boy Scouts. He was a member of the Loyal Order of the Arrow. You familiar with that? That's the top of the Boy Scout, as far as you can go. After marriage to a Christian woman, and in church, in ministry, through college, got a degree, certified counselor, they decided, you know, we've never tasted beer. Now, I found this out after the fact, of course. I've never tasted beer. Well, what that tastes like? So they decided to try some things they'd never had. She took it and left it, so to speak. He became an alcoholic. And today, he's struggling with that. Just a little tried. So when we give our testimony, let's make sure that we're telling them the truth. It ain't what it's cracked up to be. You don't want that. But see, there again, I won't speak before a group where there's a lot of young people in and talk about that. Because to me, now, I tell you what I do that is sitting with another driver one-on-one who is there. Right? And I could say, there's hope for you. If Jesus will save me, he'll save you. Right? That's what I think. That's what we use our testimony for. And if that's never happened to you, God will put you with somebody else to say something that's happened in your life. You see? That's the amazing thing about it to me. You know, I guess it's easier for him to blow my mind, but how he puts people together is so awesome. I mean, what's the odds of you three drivers here this morning being in Richmond Hill, Georgia at the same time? And when will you ever sit down, I mean all of you, at one place again? Who knows? It might be at the rapture. It might be when we're in heaven. Who knows? But we're here today, and God is teaching us today, I believe, to just trust me. Again, like the little child, turn loose and come to me. Everything's okay. I'm not going to let you get hurt. And Jesus is standing there saying, turn loose your security of staying in your truck. Turn loose that. Walk in the building, right? I know you get comments, especially if you come in and park with an oversized load. Somebody's going to look at it, you know. And I do. I mean, it fascinates me to watch. I go and look how you chained it down. I mean, to me, that's fascinating. Everything's a little different, they say. Every piece of equipment's a little bit different. If it's rubber tired, you got to do this. If it's not, you got to do that. And so I'm just using you for example, if you don't mind.
No, no.
And see, you got an audience automatically.
Everywhere you go, they stand right alongside you. They go down the road. It's like, come on, you need to keep going.
Yeah.
You know, they want to watch you while you're driving.
You'll be at a drive-in dock. You'll be at a drive-in warehouse or loading or whatever where he won't be. Me as a reefer puller, I wouldn't be. Moving van people won't be. So God ordained you and called you and put you there. See, he's got Snyder paying you to be in full-time ministry. Don't tell them that. They might do something else. But I believe that. And God's got your company paying you to be a full-time minister. You don't have to go out and raise your income.
Yeah, I drive for Swift, and you get a lot of comments, and then all you just say is, hey, Jesus loves you, you know. That CD goes flying, nobody says that.
There you go.
Here's crickets.
Yeah. And you can ask the Lord, he'll give you something to respond to that. SWIFT, you know. Like CRST stands for Christ Rose to Save Truckers.
Yeah.
A driver told me that. I said, yeah, not caution real slow truck. It's Christ Rose to Save Trucker.
That's pretty good.
You know? And if you give, like I drove a Ford, remember the old, what was that big old Ford cab over truck? CL
9000? The
9000? Yeah.
Yeah.
I drove one of them a while, and as sure as I had a radio on, it was found on the road dead. You know, yeah. F-O-R-D. So I asked a youth in our church, I said, give me, they're always writing music, you know how they are, they're crazy. love those guys, tremendous musician. I said, give me something that F-O-R-D stands for. So at my ordination service, which always a surprise, that's another story, they got up and sung about me driving my first on Resurrection Day truck. So from then on, when somebody said, well, you're driving that old found on the road dead, I said, oh, it's first on Resurrection Day. What? What's that? I'm glad you asked. Now sit back and listen. No. But, you know, God can give us those things if we ask.
Yeah.
If we ask. If we trust him with all of our heart and lean not. Right? Because my understanding is, I got to tell you, this Gravedigger, he's retired now, lives in North Carolina. We run team on my truck for a solid year. He come down, it's too long of a story. I was a holy roller and he was a Gravedigger. They always comment about that, you know. And but I don't want to go into his testimony, but he was bad. He was a bad dude. He was a special forces demolition expert, and he was touched up here, okay? The boy wasn't right. But after he got saved, now, by the way, you know, we get saved, we're ready to die and go to heaven right then, right? But we're not ready to live on earth because we're still in this fleshly body with its habits and its whatever. Well, his theory was, they got into that, let them get themselves out. With all the love of a newborn Christian. That was his theory. You know, you get in the ditch, get yourself out. But of course, we watched God transform this person, and I believe Palma and Larry will agree with this. He turned into the one most lovable, you know, God-loving, God sharing Christians you ever met. How did he do that? He learned to trust God with all of his heart. No more than guns, knives, whatever. I could tell you stories endlessly about people I've met and saw God transform their life. One I'm thinking his big uncle carried a pistol strapped to the calf of his leg and a double barrel shotgun about that long in the truck. He called it his twice barrel. God, over a period of time, touched his heart. He began to lean on to God instead of leaning on his own understanding. Got rid of all of that and began to witness like he would believe. In fact, the CB radio in the motorhome came out of his truck after he passed away. His wife asked me to sell the truck and trailer for her, which I was glad to do. I said, there's only one catch. That radio is not going with it. She said, you can have it if you want it. I put a Cobra 29 into place of it, a real nice radio, put that Connex 33 in the motorhome. And when I key to Mike, I mentioned it, the dash lights tend to flicker when I key up. It talks. But he had 650 watts hooked to that in the truck. 650. And his word was, when I speak, E.F. Hutton will listen. Here's a guy that began to trust in the Lord with all of his heart, and he didn't care what you said or thought. Now, don't get me wrong. No, I'm not talking about arrogance now. I'm not talking about stubborn pride. I'm talking about somebody who loved God more than what people would say. Because everybody's not going to agree with you. Everybody's not going to say, oh, well, I'm so glad you told me about Jesus today. You know? But now that seed had been... Let me back up. Either we cultivated the soil a little bit, broke up that old hard... You ever turn ground with a turning plow? You know what I'm talking about? From that old hard surface is condition now. We started that conditioning. We may have to do that. We may get the chance to plant the seed. We may get the chance to water it. We may get a chance to cultivate the plant a little bit as it grows, or we may get to harvest. But first of all, we got to learn to trust God with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding. Or, if I may paraphrase, do what he says, not what I think. Because my flesh is not saved yet. My spirit man, born again December 19th, 1971, remember it like it was yesterday. My flesh is just as lost, just as wicked as it was before. The difference in, I've grown in Christ and it's not in control. Most of the time. Most of the time. Right? I'd be lying to you if I said it never is. And there's no human on earth that's perfect. But see, that don't give us a license to steal either. Some people say, well, nobody's perfect. Well, that's true. But hey, if you stumble around walking and fall and bust your nose on the concrete out there, I suggest learning how to walk better. Right? I'll walk somewhere else, yeah.
It's easier to walk with God than run with the devil.
Yeah. So, today, I just want to close, I want to leave you with that thought. You know, how much do I trust God? How much do I love God? Oh, man, I remember, again, I don't want to get into truck driving stories because we'd have to start out, you ain't going to believe this, right? Running down the Florida Pike with that big, large car, had one before that just like it, or, well, almost like it, not the same kind. I remember getting on the Turnpike in Wildwood, Florida, right, headed for Pompano Beach, same old, over and over and over. Get on there and get it up to speed, click the cruise control, and just literally lean back. Turn on my worship and praise music, and that caterpillar eating up Florida soil, and I worship God and say, I'm yours. You know, I'm your man, God. You can count on me. You can use me. And then he said, all right, quit your job. Exactly. And I said, say what? Truly, that wasn't God. You know. But it was. And it may not be, now, like I say, remember, it may not be that. He might just say, take part of your time and go to a restaurant. He might say, just go in there and sit down and have a cup of coffee. You don't know you did anything. You might go in there with a shirt on like that, or maybe not even that. Just be nice to the waitress. And for heaven's sakes, don't tell her about Jesus if you're not going to tip her. Please. I mean, I go behind people like that all the time, and they see a Christian, and they say, oh, well, another deadbeat. I ask them. I ask the waitresses. And they say the worst tippers in the world are Christian. People get to talk about God, and one by one we get up and leave, and nobody left nothing. I mean, see, that's a way to minister in yourself. There's all kinds of ways. If we just trust God. I thought I was trusting God till he called, called my proverbial bluff. Right?
Oh, really? You're my God, huh?
Yeah. And I remember John 21. John 21 is where he asked Peter, do you love me? Remember that? How many times did he ask him?
Three
times. One time, he said, Peter, do you love me more than these? And I think he was talking about the rest of the disciples around him. That night in that truck, I still get misty thinking about it. With the dome light on, looking around at my big, large car. Proud. In fact, my boss said, you're going to wash the paint off of that thing. But it didn't go dirty. Life's too short to drive a dirty truck, you know. But I remember looking around that night, guys. And he said, Joe, do you love me more than this? Do you love me more than this? My spirit man, of course, said yes. My flesh was saying, can we negotiate? Can we meet halfway?
Can I get back with you?
Yeah. Hold on a minute. No. Your heart, you know the decision's already made. And he might say to you, and again, the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart. It's not a voice. You call it being led. What's a good another word people use? Impressed. I was impressed to do so and so. Again, you run hard all day. Time to take your break. You got a television show you're going to watch in the truck. He's rude about this in my life, I'll tell you, just as sure as I plan to watch something. Oh, yeah. And he'll say, go in the truck stop and have a cup of coffee. I don't want coffee. I'm fixing to go to sleep if you don't mind. You know. I am here to take a break. I mean, this is my flesh. Yours probably, you probably jump up and go into the restaurant. Not me. God woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning in a motel before we got the motorhome. I'll never forget it. Jackson, Mississippi. Next door to a truck stop. Go have a cup of coffee. I thought, how about going back to sleep? That sounds much better. I mean, I know, again, you would jump up and respond and go. And I thought, okay, I'll go have a cup of coffee. So, and on the way out, we had some Bibles. For some reason, we had them in a motel room, which is very rare. I don't even know why I took them in there. Take one of them. Okay. If I got to go, my wife, you know. Now, I go in there, and the waitress on duty was hurt. I won't bore you with the whole story, but it was all about her. She had lost a son in a tragic accident, and some ignorant person that does not line up with this word said, God took your son home. And all she heard was, God took your son. Bitter ain't the word for it. And I began to share scriptures with her that God don't cause death anymore. Jesus paid for that on the cross. Your son died of a tragic accident. We lost a grandchild just last year, same thing. Now, I can say I've been there and done that. Don't want to, but God didn't kill my granddaughter. There's nothing in here for that. But now he'll take that tragedy and use it for good. And I told her, I said, and as we shared, this was a guy that witnessed at school, you know, straight A student, this kind of a person. And I asked her about the funeral, and she was telling me how many hundreds of students were touched by his funeral. And I said, see, God took that tragedy and turned it against the evil one and brought people to him. Even though he didn't cause the death, he used it. So what I want to tell you today, men and ladies, and whoever's listening, if we'll avail ourselves, God will use us. But we've got to be available. And again, whatever you want, Lord. Whatever you want. And don't get me wrong, I fight the same flesh you do. God, you know, Jesus prayed in the garden, not my will, but your will be done. And in his humanity, just before that, he said, if there's any other way, right? Yeah. If there's any other way, let's do it. But he said, but, not my will. And he knew he was about to face the most excruciating pain known to man. I've studied the crucifixion at great length. And the pictures we have of Jesus hanging on the cross is nowhere near the real story. If you read in Isaiah, it says he was beaten beyond human recognition. You couldn't even recognize him as a human.
His own mama didn't recognize
him. And I am going to worry about what somebody might say to me after what he did? I beg your pardon. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Today I want to close in prayer. And I want to do it the way I always do. I want to pray a simple prayer. Today God might have touched your heart about something. I don't know. If you've never been born again, I invite you to come to Jesus today. Maybe you've been born again and maybe got off track somewhere. Maybe even God's got a calling on your life that you're saying, your flesh is saying, huh? You're asking too much. Today could be a recommitment to Christ for you then. A whole new start. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. I love, I'm so thankful he put that in there. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then in Hebrews 8:12, he took it a little further. He said, I will remember your sins and iniquities no more. God literally forgets that you sin. You say, he's God. He can't do that. He can do what he wants to. I wish I could forget. When you sin against me, I wish I could forget that. I can't because I don't have that ability. My wife can't forget the hurt I've done in her life. She's forgiven me, supposedly. I mean, she's still with me. But now, she doesn't have the ability to forget because Satan's not going to let her. But God said, if you just confess it, he hits Control D on his computer. And it simply don't exist anymore. That file is gone. Today, I want to ask everybody to pray. I want your heads up and eyes open as we pray. Reasons for that. And I want you to pray out loud because I want you to get in the habit of praying out loud. When you pray, you're talking to your Father. Amen. You're talking to your best friend. You're talking to somebody that loves you no matter what. Amen. I used to say, man, if they put a recorder in my truck, I'd be in the funny farm today. And hey, all of my prayers wasn't hallelujah. Some of them would say, what in the world is going on? Where are you? You got to be honest. And don't look at me like you walk with God every minute. You don't do it. Don't walk. Don't act like everything's cool. But the good part is long range. Yeah. Our 42 years of marriage has weathered storms. In fact, 42 days of marriage is probably weathered storms. Right? But today, as we pray, the Bible says if we confess, He'll forgive us. And we're going to pray together. So if anybody needs to, nobody but you and God is going to know that. Could do an altar call, love that, but I just don't do that. Why? I don't know. I like to do it this way. Then I know you've prayed, and whether or not you mean it is up to you. Would you pray with me, everyone? You say, I'm saved, I don't need to. You're right. You're not going to get any saveder than you are. But somebody around you might. Pray with me. Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father.
I come to you. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins.
Forgive me where I've done wrong.
Forgive me where I failed you.
Come into my heart.
Come into my life.
And help me to be
the kind of Christian
that you want me to be.
Help me have the power.
Help me have the ability
to answer your call.
Use me for your glory.
I pray.
Thanking you, Jesus,
for forgiving me today.
Amen.